All right, hey everybody, welcome back to Sketchbook Audio. Man, it has been a very long time since I've done a podcast, and there's so many things to talk about, not only about my life, that dog's life, and the world of cars, and just anything artsy, creative, fun. A lot's just been going on. And let me start off just by simply prefacing that my life kind of took a lot of bad turns over the past year. And for the long story short, I just stopped feeling alive about anything. And it wasn't until recently where I started to realize how passionate I was about certain things, including this podcast, going around and seeing cars at auto shows and talking about new features and tech and all that stuff. And I actually had some friends, and I hope they're listening. They just kept bothering me, pushing me like, dude, do a podcast, do one. We're in Europe right now, and we're listening to your podcast. People are listening to it. And the funny thing is, there are a lot of people actually from Europe, particularly in the UK and France, that listen to this podcast or watch it, as you can clearly see. So thank you. And I got to stop letting the small things bother me as much as they do. But whatever, we're done. We're moving forward. The good news is I have some fun stuff to talk about today, and I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. So stay tuned, because we're going to get right to it here on Sketchbook Audio. Okay, Sketchbookers, we are back. Thanks for tuning in. Before I jump right into it and everything, I wanted to say that at the, you know what? Screw it. We're just going to do it right now. I am going to put the video right here, and we're just going to get into it. But I was given this awesome tri-camera dash cam, and this is from a company called Pelsey, as you can see up here. Did not know who they were, but that's not to say that they're a bad company, or that you shouldn't know who they are, or that not everybody is as ignorant of what's going on in the world as I have been lately. But they are a fantastic brand that I found out, and they were kind enough to work with me, given my podcast and what I talk about in the automotive industry, to allow me to demonstrate this dash cam. And what I will say before you guys see the next video here, the next little clip detailing all about the dash cam, is that this thing is cool and you guys are really going to enjoy taking a look at that. So before we hop into the news and the details about what's going on in the world, let's take a look at this Pelsey P2 Trio. Three cameras, dash cam. And let me know what you guys think in the comments. Message me on Instagram, message me wherever you want, and we will go from there. So check this out. Hey, good morning. It's your host, Ryan Sketch here. So we're going to get to talking about cars very soon. First, I wanted to start off with something a little bit different than what I have ever done on my podcast, and that is review a product. Someone reached out to me recently and offered me this opportunity to review a dash cam. And since I'm a car just nut, and a lot of the people that follow this podcast also love cars, I thought this would be a great opportunity for me, for the podcast, for just other people in general who are looking for the perfect dash cam. Now, I've gone through a few in my time, and every one of them, you know, has its perks, and a lot of them have their setbacks, but this one feels fantastic, and it's by a company called Pelsey. And first thing I noticed when I looked at this box was the simplicity of what's going on the front. And if you're a big fan of Apple products, you know that this is clean, this is nice, this is good to look at. There's not a lot going on. It tells you the brand name, it shows you an image of it, it tells you what it is, and this says P2 Trio. So I'm assuming this is what the actual model is. So it tells you it's a 3-channel Wi-Fi dash camera. Now, it gets a little busy on the back. This is not traditional, something you would see for Apple, but maybe something you would see for Microsoft product or Samsung. That's okay. I've always been fine with those things. It is what it is. This is not an Apple product, and as far as I know, Apple is not getting into the dash cam business. But the other thing I found about lifting up this box was it was heavy, but not like super heavy. It's just, it's got some weight to it, which, if I can recall a quote from Jurassic Park, the lawyer looks back at Tim and says, is it heavy? And then Tim says, yeah.
And the lawyer says, well, put it back. It's probably expensive. So, you know, this feels like a substantial product, a good product. And I actually really love the look of this thing. And if you look at the back, it's got a really nice Vivid camera, which, you know, it's telling you it's got a high resolution. It's got a forward-facing camera, and I believe it has a rear-facing camera as well. I'm not 100% sure, but we're gonna pop open this box and see what is in here. Oh, I just love that feel. You know, one thing I learned while going through product design and industrial design is if the box has a nice, tight suction to it, essentially, the product team, the development team of just the box alone did a really good job with the dimensional and their specs. Sometimes the box, just the top comes right off and it's real loose. This was a nice tight fit. Apple and Samsung do it the best. Their tolerances for the fit of their box is just insane. All right, so when we look at the inside of this box, it says we got accessories and we have the dash cam. So let's start with, these are two little boxes. Okay, so we got one and we have the other for accessories. The accessories one is the heavy one. Interesting. All right, so we have a whole bunch of stuff. We have a pry bar tool for door panels and whatnot. We have clips for the wire. We have a memory card. We have a double-sided sticky foam, an instruction book, a guide to mount the device. I think this is a camera and some cables. Let me check. Okay, so for those of you who follow this podcast and this video series already, you know that I don't talk about the car so much, like the performance and the specs. I talk about the aesthetic and what goes into the car, everything from the materials to the texture and just the overall design. Well, for this, I love the fact that this is a recyclable material. There's that. But I love how easy everything came out. It was very easily packaged and simple to understand, and it just feels nice. This is a welcoming sensation. All right, so far with the accessory pack, we have a car charger, which runs off of a USB-C, and this just goes right into a cigarette outlet. I do like the fact that they included a a USB for you to plug an other accessory in, like you could charge your phone, you could charge something else. Then you get what I'm assuming is a rear-facing camera. So you could mount this probably on the inside of your car, but looking outwards. Everything has a nice 3M tape attached to it. They give you a 64 gigabyte memory card, micro SD, and then these little stick masks, basically, that you can use to locate things like this, the camera. All right, we're going to take a look now at the actual camera. And just so you know, this is their contact information, Pelsey, support at Pelsey, their Facebook, and they have a website. If I remember correctly, this product will be available on Amazon if it's not already, and I will get to pricing and all that stuff in a brief moment. Okay, so the camera came really nice foam container, if you will, and we're gonna set this foam aside. It is wrapped in another one of those bags. I'm gonna pull this out carefully, and there you go, there's the logo. They have a nice little cover, protective cover over the lens. It says Pelsey right there. There's 3M tape, so this is gonna go on your front windshield, and it doesn't feel too heavy that this 3M wouldn't hold, so I'm good with that. There's a cover here to protect the screen, and then there's a cover here to protect the other camera. So you have a camera out here, and then you have, we're going to take off all these. So here we go. Already, just by holding this thing, my hands touched some nice features here. You've got a USB Type-C, which, you know, this is going to plug into for your charging. You have a AV cable output or input, maybe. Yeah, so this camera, this other camera, is going to plug into here. So now I know why it's a, it says three channel, because you have three cameras. You have one here, which is for the inside of your car, which is a nice feature. Not a lot of dash cams have that. They either have just like a front facing camera and a camera for the rear, like the backup camera, or they have something else. Your front facing camera with a pretty solid lens in there. I'm not sure if it's telescopic, but it might just be a digital telescope, telescoping effect. And then this camera just moves on a really nice swivel. It's a ball and socket type. And then on the bottom, you have features like power, probably mode, and then an up-down selection. And then on the side is where you put your micro SD. And it, there's a mic here. And I think that's like telling you the power is on. This also has a GPS. So my guess is if you get in an accident, this is going to be able to identify where you're at for first responders or the police to, you know, use the file for their records. And then, you know, in case of an accident. And then also perhaps you'd be able to track the car. But we'll get into that in a second. I got to look at the features. All right, so I am opening the user manual. Just after reading this, I do appreciate the fact that it's translated in English and it's very well written. So from a usability and tech standpoint, this is pretty cool. Okay, so here's what we have in the box. We have the dash cam, we have the rear camera, we have a car charger, a bunch of adhesives, a pry tool, and then here, LCD display, the cabin camera, which is rotatable. We talked about that. Infrared lights all around here, so you can see in the dark. Type-C for the charger. An AV port for the rear camera. There's a speaker on the back. There's a front face. Well, speakers on the front, actually. There's a front-facing camera. Functional buttons, the adhesive pad, built-in GPS. Let's see. You know what? Let's try powering this on. Usually these things come charged a little bit, so we're going to... All right, so scratch that. There is obviously no charge because... You know what? Never mind that. Just ignore what I said. I wish I could do bloopers. I really want to do a blooper reel one day, but my video editing skills are limited to my patience. So, you know what? Before I am going to plug this in my car because I think it's only fair to really get an idea how to use this. But before we jump into that, you know, the nice thing about dash cameras, the good dash cameras will do things like a loop feature where, you know, once it reaches the end of the amount of time it can film, it just starts back at zero essentially and writes over that again and then again and again. It's just an infinite loop. But you would be able to stop the recording and then take out the micro SD and put that into your computer and look up files individually just in case there was an accident or you saw something really, really funny that you wanted to document, which I have seen quite a few times. Dash cams are not just for accidents or for your accidents. They could be for another accident that you were a witness to, but they can also identify some really funny things. And every now and again, I find myself pulling my micro SD card out of my dash camera and saving some video files because they're, you know, you can't go back in time, but if you have a dash camera, you kind of can, and it's funny. Okay, so the GPS does, there are some other features with the GPS, but one of the things is the GPS speed. You can determine how fast you were going prior to an accident. So that's helpful. It could also be harmful if you were going too fast. So dash cams are a double-edged sword, so be careful with that. But overall, just looking at this with the user manual, I feel like it's a very solid device. It's not a name that I'm familiar with, but that's okay because I'm always open to learning about new products and seeing what works out there. If it works, if it does a great job, then it's an awesome device to me. I actually, a while ago, my first dash camera was from a company called Zeus, and Z-U-S, and it's a real simple camera. I still actually have a brand new one in the box. It was a Wi-Fi connectability, so it didn't have a screen on it. It had a really good camera that rotates a bit, and you could connect a rear-facing camera if you wanted to, so for like the back of your car to look out in the back. Not really a cabin one, although I guess you could mount it in the cabin. But it had a Sony camera lens, and the internals were really solid. You could put up to, I think, a 500 gig memory card in there, which was pretty great because you just almost never have to pull it out and change it or anything. But the other features about it were it was affordable. I think it was like $49.99. And the picture quality on my phone, while it kind of required a good signal, as long as my phone was near the camera, I always could see a good amount. It didn't have features like sort of like a sentry mode where if I left the car, you know, it would stay on. It would record something happening, like if there was theft. I'm curious if this thing would. That's one feature that I love about a good dash camera is the ability to record what's going on inside the car should your car be broken into. But also for the sake of, you know, you might have a small child in the back and you can't see what they're doing by turning your head, but you could glance up there real quick and see something that maybe your rearview mirror couldn't catch. So altogether, this thing looks like a very solid device. I'm excited to plug it in to my car and see how it works. So hold on, because we're going to go and do that. All right, it's a bit of a brisk morning out, but it's not that bad. So I'm going to hop in my Jeep. We're going to plug this in and see how it works. By the way, oh, and yes, that is Jurassic Park. Hey. I was reading some of the stuff, the specs on Amazon, and I saw that this has a 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi connection. It's voice activated, voice controlled. So that's a very nice feature to have, especially when you don't want to fumble around with buttons. So I'm sure there's a ton of features you can activate using your voice. Like I said, it's one of those features that I don't see a lot in other dash cameras. Really, actually, I think maybe two that I've seen, and they're very expensive. So having that feature in something like this that's a little bit more affordable is a great thing. I want to show you guys what this thing looks like mounted up in my car. I'm not going to go through all of the installation stuff, but I'm just going to quickly pop this thing into my car and go from there. All right, so format the card. Okay, we're going to click OK. It is not touchscreen, I don't think. So let's quickly format this. Okay, so wow, this thing is cool. I really like this camera already. The only thing I don't like, and it's probably not going to make much of a difference right now, is the cables are kind of in my way. This plug probably should have been down here or on the side. But once this thing is mounted, let's say up here, then I can run these cords through the frame of the windshield and then through the A-pillar and then back there somewhere. But that cord is the power cord, and it's got a nice blue glow for the USB, so that's cool. It's illuminated. Also something you don't see in every dash cam. But if you look at the screen, there's no lag. There's really no degradation of the image. This is 4K, And you can see right there, it's voice controlled. You can take a picture very quickly. There's a little button under here that lets you do that. I kept pushing it by accident. Currently, this camera is... I don't know which... So, that's not looking at this little picture-in-picture up here. That's not looking at this guy. So, I'm not sure. Let me try to grab the rear camera, which is over here. Yep. Okay, so that picture-in-picture right there is, in fact, the rear camera. And that's a really good picture quality, too. It's got a nice wide-angle lens. So does the front. You can zoom too, but you can see it says 4K, Wi-Fi is not connected, GPS is not turned on right now, and it's charging, and it's got an SD card in there. It tells you a date stamp as well as the time, so that's nice. There's also miles per hour, so you can see that. Remember, this stuff is just to be at a glance, but I like that it's right there. It's pretty easy to read. All of the font and the colors are nice. I wonder if you can move the picture-in-picture camera, but not too much of a delay on this rear camera, but I can plug this rear camera into the back there and see out my back window, or since I am an off-roader in my Jeep, I could probably stick this somewhere outside to see maybe some things like the ground if I'm off-roading. Now, I wonder how to switch to the other cameras. I'm going to push lock current. I don't know what that means. Okay, so, yep. All right, so I used the arrow buttons, and I got myself to where I'm using this camera right here and not this rear-facing camera for the back. So this will be great for parents, or if you just have precious cargo in the back, which I have a son, so he's definitely precious cargo, and that's a great feature for parents to have. It's also just a great feature to have should there be a reason why somebody would break into your car. Now you can record it all. Hopefully they don't steal your dash cam, but yeah, I really like this camera. The color is great. It's bright. Like I said earlier, this has infrared sensors, so you could get some night vision in there. Hopefully that works. Overall, super satisfied with this camera. I think there's a couple features that I'm interested in seeing if they have, but I'm going to leave it to you guys. What do you want to know about this camera? This is the Pelsi P2 Trio. So it's got a trio of cameras, three. You've got one for in your cabin. You've got one facing forward and outwards onto the street. And then you've got another one that you can stick on as like a backup camera. What would be interesting is, and I highly doubt this does it, is if you could hardwire this into your car, the rear camera, so that this guy could act as your backup camera, and then you use that as a second screen. I have this, so when I put this into reverse, you know, my screen changes there. I don't necessarily need one, but a lot of cars are getting away from actually having a normal rear view mirror, and they're putting video up there, so that might be something Pelsi looks into. It looks like on Amazon they do have a dash cam that goes over your mirror like this, so that could be another option. But as I see, this is a excellent dash cam. I've had experience with about four or five different kind over the past 10 years, so this is probably my second favorite right now. I really like this one. I think my only complaint is that it's not a bigger screen. To be honest, not a lot of them come with the screen anyways. They rely on your phone to be that second screen, or you're just relying on what you believe to have been captured on the SD card, and then you can just go review that later. Having the screen is nice,
Could it be a distraction? Maybe. I don't know. It's not a distraction to me. I can turn the screen off and continue to use the camera as it is. But it is a nice feature to have. And if you tuck this thing away enough, I don't think it would be a distraction whatsoever. Currently, mine that I'm using is not a distraction. So I really like this camera. And the price, you guys might be wondering, on Amazon currently it's $179. That is not bad at all. I've seen cameras that go for well over $400. I've seen ones that are somewhere around $200, $250. This one, sitting pretty well below that, is a good price. And I think it's fair given the size and the features that it has, but it definitely gets some bonus points for having as many features as it does in one small device. It's been larger units I've seen that have some of these extra features, like the GPS, for instance. Mine has a GPS, but it's not as compact as this one. This is a very nice compact GPS, which is inside this top piece. So you can see it says GPS there. Mine is a separate cable that runs along my pillar here, and it's mounted to the radio for like Sirius XM. It's mounted up there on my roll bar, which you can't see unless I take the roof off. But Pelsi P2 Trio, would highly recommend this one, at least from the initial standpoint. The longevity of the product, I know nothing about yet. I assume based on the quality of the materials that this thing will last quite a while. I've been watching this thing go right now and I haven't seen any flickering, any other kind of failures, so I'm pretty happy with it. And the startup is easy. You just plug it in, it asks you to format the card. That's easy. You just click one little button and it does it. It speaks in English and it speaks, I think, in a few other languages if you needed to. And it's not a robotic voice either. It's a very nice, welcoming voice. There's a mic, so it's recording audio. You've got the in-cabin camera, the rear camera for outside your car to see people behind you, and the front-facing camera. You know, one thing about that rear-facing camera, though, my accident that I got in last year, I wish I had that rear-facing camera because I might have been able to see the kid that hit me rather than look in my rearview mirror or have to turn around. I would have been able to see it better. I don't know if I would have been able to react better, but because there was nowhere for me to go. But maybe you're in a situation where the person behind you is not slowing down at all and you can either speed up a little bit more or you can move to the side. I don't know. But actually having that rear-facing camera on is a very nice feature. So kudos to Pelsi. I really like this unit. I would recommend it. And hopefully we start reviewing some more products here. But in the meantime, go watch the rest of the podcast. Go listen to it. Check it out. And we're going to be talking a lot about some new EVs that are coming out. What I would recommend, whether or not you should do an EV or a plug-in hybrid or just a hybrid. There's a lot of questions about that, especially with people saying we don't want to be forced into just EVs. Give us some alternatives. They're there. You just have to know what you're looking for. And I'm trying to convince my neighbor into buying a plug-in hybrid Wrangler right now. So wish me luck. I think it's a great car. My Wrangler already is awesome. But having it as a plug-in hybrid would be the icing on the cake. And I'm really hoping he goes for it. They are a little bit expensive. I will admit that. But the technology will, you know, it's that trickle-down effect. What is that word? Economy of scale. Scale of economy? Or economy of scale? I don't know. One of those. It's going to bring the price down eventually. We're going to have better technology for the battery, more advanced batteries that are more compact, more energy in them. Little kid. Come on, man. All right. Thank you for tuning in. Enjoy the rest of the podcast.
All right. So guys got a chance to check out the Pelsi Trio. It's the P2 Trio. You can find it on Amazon. And as I said in the previous clip, it's $179. And I think they actually even have a coupon going on right now. So definitely go check it out on Amazon. Not a huge fan of Amazon. You guys already know that, but you can find it there. You can go to their website. Or you can also find it. I think there's another place. Really, frankly, this device should be in Best Buy. Best Buy sells a lot of really well-known brands, but this is definitely one you guys should take a look at. I was very pleased with it. Okay, on to the hot topics of the automotive industry. First thing I want to tell you guys is I have my passes to go to the Chicago Auto Show, so that will be happening February. It's the 10th through the 19th, if I'm not mistaken, but I'll be there either the 9th or the 10th. I'm not exactly sure which the press days are, but whatever, I will be going, and you guys will get to see all of the cool stuff there. I'm really hoping that Chicago blows Detroit out of the water this year again, because Detroit's was just weak. There was nothing really new. I think the only new car were a couple Cadillacs that were refreshed, and Cadillac showed off their IQ Escalade, or their Escalade IQ, which, by the way, is a really... I hate the Escalade. Hate it. I hate large SUVs. But when I saw the Cadillac Escalade IQ, I was really taken back and drawn into it. It's a sweet looking SUV, and it doesn't feel as big as the Suburban or the Tahoe or the Yukon or any of those big SUVs. It just felt, or the Escalade, of course, it just felt like a good larger SUV, and inside, just insanely cool. So much tech, so much high quality materials. It's a great looking SUV, and I'm excited to see that on the road as opposed to some of these other ones. There is another electric vehicle that I am not excited to see on the road, and actually I got my chance to see one on the road here in Detroit. Was not, my soul felt empty as it drove past. It was the Tesla Cybertruck. This is probably going to be the most controversial thing I talk about this year, which is interesting because I don't think I've done many podcasts this year, which that's not true. We know that I did it back in the Detroit Auto Show, but getting back into this and kicking off possibly 2024, the Tesla Cybertruck, love it, hate it. Does it really matter? The fact is it exists. It's real. People have them, and clearly people in Detroit got theirs as well. When I first saw it come around the bend, the front three quarters isn't horrible. But then once you get to the rest of it, you're just hit with this concept of Roblox or something from like Fortnite or Minecraft. It just felt childish. And I didn't even get close enough to get look at the panel gaps or anything like that. From a distance, it looked like it was built pretty well. But there's just so many things that I just can't wrap my head around, like the hard edges. What happens when somebody just gets blasted with that? Do they get split in half? Do they explode? Does Elon Musk immediately get a phone call that, hey, you just, whatever, split somebody in two? It feels like the Dewey Cox story, Walk Hard, where Dewey's trying to explain to his father that, yes, he accidentally cut his brother in half with a machete. I feel like that's what you're probably going to get at some point in time with the Tesla Cybertruck. The interior, very Tesla, but at the same time, it was, how do we be minimalist for a truck, for something that's meant to be very utilitarian, maybe not so sleek and sexy like we see today with the new Silverado, the GMC, Sierra, the Ram. I mean, God, the new Ram EV, or the Rev REV, that is a sexy truck on the interior. And the Tesla Cybertruck is like, no, none of that matters. What people need are hard headrests, really rigid and sharp edged door panels. The armrest panel, I looked at the interior of a Cybertruck, and most door armrests, they run into the B pillar, and it's a smooth transition. Tesla went straight and then a hard edge in, hard edge out, flat, straight, and just, why? My elbow sits there. It's going to feel weird. Did they do zero, group testing with this? Did anybody else get their hands on this other than Elon? I don't know. I feel like it was just a, we're going to do it. We can do it. We said we're going to do it 4 years later, and deal with it. It's there. And he's getting free publicity. He's getting it right now. I'm not getting paid for this. So, anywho, the Tesla Cybertruck, it's just this thing that in art school for automotive design, you're just told to not go in that direction. And I give him props and the rest of the design team for trying something totally new and just going against the grain completely. Like, grain, Tesla Cybertruck. Went right through. There was no, like, you know, slight rub up against the grain. There was just complete perpendicular intersection. So, yeah, that's what we have. And sometimes I like the minimalist look, but I think I'm tired of seeing Tesla's just nothing in there. It's just a big giant tablet right in the center, and it doesn't do anything for me. So a lot of people like it. I'm all for electric vehicles, as you guys know, but I just think there's other vehicles that do it better. Speaking of electric vehicles and what you really should be looking at if you're trying to go the EV route, as much as I love electric vehicles, I do recognize the fact that there are some hurdles we have to get over as far as infrastructure and the lack of EV charging stations, and not only the lack of them, but working ones. I hear all the time that, oh, I went to these Tesla, well, not so much the Tesla one, but the other ones, Charge America and the other ones, they're never working or they're never available. So that's a problem. Detroit actually has a road, I think it's like a quarter mile downtown Detroit, that they made so that you can drive your electric car over it and it charges as you drive over it. Now, you'd probably have to drive over it 1,000 times to get anywhere, but that wouldn't make any sense because you're using charge to drive over it. I don't know how that works out. But if you were to create a stretch of road, say like the railroad track, the Pan America railroad track, and it was just all charge, you'd probably never have to actually plug in your car, I would imagine. I don't know how it all works. It's all magic to me. But, you know, like they said in Thor, magic is just science that hasn't been explained yet. So we'll see. But if you're going to go the route of an electric car, what I would highly recommend is you maybe take a look at a plug-in hybrid or just a hybrid first. And who better to look at than the founders pretty much of hybrids? Toyota. Toyota improves year over year, every time with every new model on all of their hybrids. And now it's at the point where they're using their hybrid powertrain technology to make trucks and other vehicles stupid fast with a four-cylinder, a 2.5-liter four-cylinder attached to an electric motor of varying sizes. And not only do you get all-wheel drive or just, you know, front or rear-wheel drive, you get that plus a lot of torque, and then you get insane miles per gallon. We're talking like 40s, 50s, probably even high 30s for a truck. That's significant when you're spending however much at the tank with just gas, and you don't have to worry about charging it. Now, I did mention plug-in hybrids. You kind of have to plug them in at some point in time, but there are ways to get around that, and they don't last very long, so you're going to want to charge it at some point. But think about it. If you're maybe, say, in your middle ages and you're not driving much anymore, you know, why not just get a plug-in hybrid where 25 miles gets you there and back, or even 30, 35, some even I think go 40. Go that range, come back, charge your car. Do it slow. Do it with the fast charger, whatever it allows, whatever your house allows. Because you got to, you know, not all plug-in hybrids have a fast charge. Some of them have the slower one. Not all houses allow you to, you know, some people don't. They just get the wall mount. They don't do anything else. They don't get the crazy Generac or Tesla, like a supercharger essentially for your house. Not everybody does that. So, and it's expensive. But plug-in hybrid just makes a lot of sense if you're really trying to get towards that electric vehicle. You may never actually have to fill your car up. You just drive there and back to groceries, to your work, if it's close by, to go pick up your kids, and you charge in between. And then you just have a full tank of gas that just sits there for a while. And maybe every now and again, you use that tank of gas to go on a longer road trip. So for a good amount of distance, you can do it without using the gas. Or, you know, go back and forth between the two. Whatever. I would recommend a hybrid or a plug-in hybrid electric vehicle. And if you guys want some suggestions on what to look at, RAV4 hybrid, RAV4 Prime, the Oh my gosh, I just forgot it. The Prius and the Prius Prime, which, by the way, I just found out the new Prius is all-wheel drive as long as you don't get the Prime. As soon as you get the Prime, it is, I think, rear-wheel drive or front-wheel drive, one of the two. And the bigger battery and the other stuff just kind of make it not possible to have for the Prius an all-wheel drive Prius. To me, that was kind of short-sighted. I think they could have easily put an electric motor on the front and the rear and then, I don't know, squeezed in a really tiny gas-powered engine. Whatever. They could have done a lot of different things, and they just didn't do it. The RAV4, on the other hand, the Prime, is all-wheel drive. So if you need the space and you want to, I don't know, yeah, whatever. I think they both look great. You can get a Sportage, a Kia Sportage. You can get a Hyundai Santa Fe. You can get a... Oh, God, you can get the Tucson from Hyundai. You can get the Sportage and the Sorento. There's a few other ones from the Hyundai-Kia group. As soon as you get to the Ioniq, all electric. Same thing with Kia. If you go with the EV, you know, whatever number follows, then it's all electric. EV, electric vehicle, and then the number. You could go with Ford and the Escape. I personally would rather have the Mustang Mach-E. Whatever, don't call it a Mustang, just call it the Mach-E. But I would rather have that than the Escape, but it's a fully electric car. So the F-150 Lightning, fully electric, so you know, can't really go that route. Toyota also offers the Tundra and the Tacoma. They now have the iForce Max hybrid powertrain. So it's more for the power, but it does improve your fuel economy pretty significantly. So that's something. Toyota has the Corolla Cross, the Corolla hybrid. You know, there's a lot of vehicles from Toyota. Honda has the Element. Honda has the Civic is coming out with a hybrid soon. I'm not sure if it's plug-in, but it's definitely a hybrid. And the Accord is 100% hybrid now. There is no other powertrain you can get. It's just hybrid, which is probably a good thing. You know, it's a really well-selling sedan, but it's one of those for the masses. There aren't really many niche people buying that. They just buy it in mass because it's a good car. It's been around forever, and it gets great fuel economy, so why not? Jeep doesn't really have one except for the plug-in hybrids on the Grand Cherokee and the Wrangler. There's no hybrids. It's just the plug-in hybrid, which I guess is, you know, potato-potato. They're both hybrids. They say hybrid in the name. But I mean, like, strictly either there is a plug or there's not a plug. So that's where I'm going with that. The Pacifica, the Chrysler Pacifica, is a hybrid, and oddly enough, that's really the only car they have anymore is the Pacifica. Dodge has the Hornet. Alfa Romeo has the Tonale, which are identical cars for the most part. You could go with General Motors is kind of strayed away from hybrids. I don't think they have anymore. All they have are EVs or gas-powered cars, and they're pretty much getting rid of all their gas-powered cars very soon. Which brings me to another point that I'll talk about shortly, is the Blazer EV, chef's kiss. But there are some setbacks, and we'll talk about that momentarily. What else is there? I can't even think right now. But there are hybrids out there. There's plenty that you could go with, and I would definitely recommend one of those or a plug-in hybrid if you were trying to jump into the EV segment. Ram is going to come out with that Rev, which basically is an electric Ram with a gas motor that doesn't power the wheels. All it does is charge the battery. So essentially, you have infinite range as long as you have gas in the car. I know that sounds kind of weird, but trust me, it works. It makes sense. Just the truck alone on one drive, they're getting like 690 miles of range. What the heck? That's without recharging. That's without refueling. It's just one tank of gas plus the truck. And I don't know about towing. I would imagine that's without towing anything, but don't quote me on that. What else is out there that you know what? So the hybrid, that's what I wanted to talk about with that. There's a lot of cool looking vehicles out there, and I would recommend pretty much just everything I just named because they're all pretty cool in their own right. Let's hop over to that Chevy Blazer EV. What a badass looking car, especially in the RS and SS trim. I have seen several of those roaming around the Detroit area, and wow, it is a looker inside and out. I will say the all black interior, come on guys, not everybody wants to live in a coffin. We're gonna die in one. Don't make us live in one. That's why, thankfully, there's the RS and the SS, which give you a nice red and black, and I think there's a gray in there as well. Those are just hot. And thanks to my friend Justin Salmon, who I think was one of the lead designers on the interior of that Blazer, nailed it. I remember when Justin was in college and he did a lot of Ferrari stuff. In fact, I think he actually did a sponsored Ferrari, and his interior for that had a lot of red. Loved it. The exterior of the car was red. I think the project was Ferrari red, Rosso, if you will. And he nailed it. But you can see how he translated a lot of that theme into the Blazer EV, and it works. It just works. I do find it funny, though, that the Blazer is no longer really the off-road vehicle that it used to be way back when, but whatever. The name actually, to me, I mean, you can blaze your own trail fine if you want. That's why there's the Trailblazer. But the Blazer just feels like either a tuxedo jacket or something that's just blazing fast. I don't know. And Blazer has the E in there, electric, whatever. I like it. It's a good looking vehicle. There have been some setbacks, though. A lot of people who are testing that vehicle for the automotive literature, the magazines and whatnot, publications, they're not having the best of time with them. And I don't know if that's just because they're prototypes and pre-production. Who knows? That could very well be. So I'm not going to shoot Chevy down for that. I think there's proven tech in there, and it's a good platform. They just need to get more on the road and, you know, see how it goes from there. But would highly recommend that if you're actually trying to go the full EV route. The Blazer EV is the way to go. There is the Equinox EV that's coming out as well. I like it. There's some really cool colors if you get it in something other than black or white. But, you know, it's not bad. It's better than the Equinox has ever been, and I'm all for it. That platform, along with the Blazer's platform, are going to spawn a ton of other vehicles, all EVs, and that's pretty cool. So, for instance, the Blazer EV is basically the same thing as the Honda Prologue SUV, which is sweet. It's a very clean aesthetic. It's got a little bit of that Civic Honda Pilot kind of look on the interior. It's the interior is kind of proliferating across their board, which is fine. It's minimalist without being Tesla minimalist. It's just a clean interior. Then there's the Acura ZDX, you know, Honda and Acura being the same company. There's the ZDX. I'm not a fan of that one. I think it feels not right for Acura. The ZDX was a weird looking SUV. This just looks like a Blazer with an Acura front end, but not in a good way either. I don't know. To each their own. I think Acura could have done a little bit better, but to be fair, they were working with hard points that had to be almost identical to the Blazers and to the Honda Prologue. And I believe it's also spawning a Cadillac, which my guess would be the EV or the Cadillac XT6, but the EV version of it. They just showed it off recently, so you know, we'll see. But Acura is probably the one I would not get. I would go with the Chevy or the Chevy Blazer or the Honda Prologue. I think they just look great, especially some of the colors that they're offering. Wow, Galaxy Gray. I talk about design all the time. Chevy is killing it with their color wheel. Wow, it is a beautiful color. It's got so much depth, and I love it. Speaking of color, the Ford Mustang Dark Horse comes in this beautiful blue ember. I don't think I've ever seen a prettier blue. I don't care what brand you're talking about, Porsche, Ferrari. I don't think anybody's come up with a better blue. Good job, Ford. I'm not a fan of the front end of the new Mustang. I know a lot of people are. I see them all over the place. It's catching on like wildfire. But I think Ford went a little bit too far with the Mustang. Interior, it's got some throwbacks apparently to the 80s. Fox body Mustang, which is fine. I hate the Fox body Mustangs myself. It just felt like too big of a departure from Mustangs. And Dodge did the same thing with their Charger and the Daytona and all that other fun stuff. So, you know, Ford's not the only one who went crazy in the 80s and 90s. But there's the Mustang. It's just the front end. I don't know what. The front end just looks weird to me. It's very blocky and edgy and sharp and I don't know. But overall, It is a gorgeous looking car, especially in that blue Ember. Very nice. Okay, on to some other stuff. What else did I want to talk about? There are just a lot of cool cars on their way. And actually, you know what? I'm going to pull up my phone because there was a couple things. One car that you should definitely take a look at is the Hyundai Ioniq N. And it was just announced, kind of like a hint to it, I guess, that the N74, the Hyundai N74, the pony car, is going to be coming in a limited production. I think there's like 100 units that are going to be made. Wow. Retro at its prime. It's a perfect car, and I wish I could have it. But the Hyundai Ioniq 5 N is fantastic. And so far, all of the reviews are phenomenal for that car. And just like the EV6, which has gotten a lot of awards, especially in that GT line and the GT model, I think the Ioniq 5N is going to be a hit. And as soon as they open up the ordering books here in the States, I'm throwing my name in the hat. I got to have one. I don't know. And I plan on opening my cafe, hopefully before the end of 2024, but we'll see. I got to get a building. I think I have a few picked out. I don't think I've talked about this yet, but I'm going to be opening up a cafe sometime in 2024. Just got to wait for some things to settle and get out of this hotel. I've been here for way too long. But yeah, the last thing I want to talk about, I'm going to shift away from cars a little bit, and that is video games and movies. So one of the big topics this year so far, near the end of this, the gaming awards and some of the movie awards. And the one thing that I love seeing, and I'm seeing a lot more of, is animated films and the crews that have been making them getting the recognition that they deserve. People are taking these animated films and treating them more respectfully than they have in the past. You know, it's not just a Disney sing-along type animated movie, which, by the way, a lot of those won awards back in the day, and they still did. You know, for the music, most of the time for the artwork, because there's really nobody else doing hand-drawn movies with the exception of, I think Fox did it, and Sony eventually. But, you know, these movies are getting phenomenal recognition for it. Wish, just so super cool. They're using like a watercolor stylization on top of a 3D model. Just cool. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem, a wild very similar to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, but its own thing. It's very grungy. It's very dirty. It's very Ninja Turtles. And that one was really cool. I haven't seen it yet, but I from the commercials and everything, I know it's going to be a killer movie, and I'm looking forward to it. Part of me really wanted a live-action Turtles that was just done totally different from the way they had been with Michael Bay. But to be fair, Ninja Turtles has always been animated. Like a longer run and sort of a better run. The first two Ninja Turtle movies were priceless. The following ones, Turtles in Time or whatever it was, Secret, they didn't do it for me. So, yeah, the next movie that I want to talk about real quick is Godzilla Minus One. If you're not a Godzilla fan, I'm sorry. That sucks. You live a very sad life. What are you doing? Go see, it's not a man in a rubber suit anymore. We actually, Toho made the decision a while ago that they were going to do at least a mix of, if not all CG, and it's amazing. I thought Godzilla, Shin Godzilla was just phenomenal too. It's a totally different Godzilla, and this one is a totally different Godzilla too. It's just nuts, and it's so well written, and there's so much drama, and Godzilla is different, but he's better, and it hurts inside to see it a little bit because it's so emotionally connected to history, and it just grips at you. It tears you apart a little bit. It makes you really question why we do the things we do as human beings. World War II, atom bomb, all that fun stuff. It just tugs at your heartstrings, man. It just really makes you feel for everything. And to see it in a Godzilla movie is just, it's just perfect. Godzilla was kind of always born out of that, you know, the war. He is a metaphor for the the war and for the fallout and everything that, you know, mankind is capable of destruction, just mass destruction. So, you know, as time has gone on, Godzilla kind of drifted away from the whole 1940s, what was it, 46, 47 kind of thing, and was more or less just attacking cities as he is wont to do. But they lost touch with the history behind it. And as they have gotten closer, even now, the new Godzilla, that's the American version, the legendary Godzilla, he, you know, they mentioned some stuff about war and how, you know, they're trying to balance the universe and the environment and the world. But it doesn't really talk about Godzilla being born from war. He's just sort of a response to it and chaos. He's a response to chaos. And but this new one, Godzilla Minus One, which I honestly don't even understand what Minus One means, but I heard it the other day and I was trying to put the two and two together and I just get my brain's not all there anymore. So Godzilla Minus One, it's still in theaters. It's winning a heck of a lot of awards. If you haven't seen it, go see it. I highly recommend it. It is the best 2.5 hours you will spend all year, I promise. Don't go see Aquaman. I mean, it looks fine, but let's just be honest. Zack Snyder's Snyderverse is kind of dead. We have, you know, what's-his-name's James Gunn's to look forward to, which I'm very excited for. I think he's going to right a lot of wrongs, but I don't blame Zack. I don't blame anybody but DC's and Warner Brothers' big head honchos. I think they're the ones that just made some horrible calls. And, you know, we had Aquaman's getting hit for a decent story. It's got a good story, but bad CGI effects. Like, come on, dude. All the money in the world, and you can't get on Avatar's level? What is going on here? You need to do that kind of movie, that kind of justice. So, you know, is what it is. The last thing I want to talk about, and I mentioned video games. There's a lot of video games that are just getting a lot of recognition. Spider-Man 2. I want to talk about Zelda Breath of the Wild. I didn't get to play the new one yet, but I'm currently playing Breath of the Wild, and I don't think I've played a Zelda game since Majora's Mask, which is bad. Let's be honest. I'm a gamer and I haven't played that, but I just got away from Nintendo for a while. And when I finally was able to pick this up, I don't know why I didn't sooner. Look at this thing. This is my Switch. This is this little tiny thing. And I freaking love it. I bought it when I sold my house, and that thing is just so cool. The form factor, the usability, the fact that I can pop that out of its cradle and play with it handheld wherever I want, but still continue what I was playing on a big screen TV. I love that. So kudos to Nintendo and the team that is behind Zelda, because they're doing something so awesome with it. And there is a Zelda movie in the works. I just hope if they are going to do a live action version of it, that they really stick to the material. Don't try to write your own story. Unless it's like a continuation of one of these, don't just give us what was happening in Zelda, the first one. Mario, you know, it was animated, so that was a good thing, but Chris Pratt doing the voice of an Italian plumber guy. Come on, man. I'm not even going to go there. What else did I want to talk about? I don't know. I've been in, like I said, my life's been kind of in a flux right now. I'm not teaching currently because the school is going through some restructuring, and that kind of sucks. But recently I did have a friend of mine reach out and ask me if I could do a little show and tell, if you will, about myself and my past and my history in art, where I went to school, what I'm doing now, blah, blah, blah. And so much fun. I freaking loved it. And what I really loved was seeing the amount of attention that people were giving to the craft, what they love to do, and which is a lot of times what I love to do. This was a class more on graphic design, and I'm not necessarily a graphic design artist. I dabble in it every now and again when somebody asks me for a logo. Fine. But there's so much theory and psychology behind graphic design and logos and brand identity that I don't have the time to do all that research. I give you a good logo based on, you know, the things that you wanted and needed. But this class was very fun. It was very engaging. So hopefully I get asked to show up again to somebody's classes because that's fun. And, you know, two of my students from the school that I actually teach at, they are well on their way to success. And I am so happy for them, so proud of them. I think they're going to do amazing things in the automotive industry. And then one of my other students who's a little bit older than they are, she's already working at General Motors. She's a clay sculptor and she's doing phenomenal. She's working on all these new EVs, I think, that are coming out. So kudos to her, props to her. She's a good student and she's going to do a lot of amazing things for General Motors. So anywho, that's all I got for today. Hopefully, you know, if you want to sponsor me or have me do a product review, I will happily do it. And, you know, not sure what I'm going to do with this one. I might do a giveaway. I might wrap it up for a Christmas present. I don't know. I might even keep it for my next car. Who knows? I currently have a dash cam. It's through another brand. And I love it. It's great. But this one's a tough contender. I really like this one because it's got the tri camera. I don't have to attach anything really to it. It's just right there. So check out that review. Check out the notes and facts on it. You can check it out on Amazon. It's Pelsi. It's the P2 Trio. And in the meantime, you know, just continue sketching. Get out that sketchbook. Don't let life beat you down. If you're an artist, if you're a creative person, screw what everybody else says. Do what you love to do. I was talking to another person I met recently, and she was kind of down in the dumps as well. She was having a tough time really finding that motivation to get back into what she loves, which is painting. Just a little conversation, and she's already jumped back on that train, and she's well on her way to pouring her heart out into ink and paint, and I love that. That's just the ability to create something is just phenomenal, and it's just a beautiful gift, and don't let it go to waste. Even if you have a day job that you hate or that's just not exactly what you wanted to be doing with your life, go home and work on what you wanted to do with your life. It doesn't have to be for profit. Do it for you. Art is therapeutic. It can be for the rest of the world. It should be for the most part, but it also is a reflection of you and who you are, maybe who you are on the inside, what you're feeling, what you're thinking. Share that with the world if you can. And it doesn't have to be for profit. You can make it for profit for sure, but you know, you got to do it for you. Money's not always going to be there the way you kind of want it to. But the passion will be, and the people who get inspired by you, the people who learn from you and get an emotional connection, whether it's music, painting, car design, whatever. Oh, you know what? The last thing I'm going to say is there's this whole big push for AI. I'm not on board with it. I think AI is going to kill us all eventually. If you don't believe me, I'm not going to tell you to go watch Terminator, but I am. And we are a disease. I don't think the Matrix could have said it any better. We are a disease that AI will want to one day eradicate and make a perfect world. So they're already trying to make perfect art. They can't get the hands right, but they can get other things pretty well. But VizCom, go check out VizCom. I think the guys over at VizCom, it's ethically grounded. There's a moral basis there. And they're just producing really cool stuff. So if you're about to get into automotive design or any kind of art, either whether it's video game design, movie production, character art, check out VizCom. You'll be pleasantly surprised. It's not like Midjourney or some of those other ones that are just stealing images off of Google. This is doing way more, and I support it. So VizCom, VizCom. Go check it out. Anyways, I'm your host, Ryan Sketch, here at Sketchbook Audio. Remember, get that sketchbook out. Sketch, 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 whether it's digital or on pen and paper. And be good to one another because life is just too damn short. And we need more positivity. We need more art. We need more of you. All right. Take care.